We've been working through a series called Christmas Presents, Giving Presents all year, and the importance of the presence of God that is with us, that we bring wherever we are. And so it's such an important message that we need to keep in mind. Next week, we'll be returning to Core 52, and so I hope you're ready for that. We'll be at Core 13. And if you've just joined us in the last few weeks and have not been a part, basically Core 52 is taking the primary passages all through the Bible, starting with Genesis and creation, going all the way to Revelation. And so we're working through that. We will be getting back to number 13 when we start next week. So if you're already, don't try to make up and whatever, or if you've dropped or whatever, just jump in right where we are. That's the best way to do it. Otherwise, it feels burdensome, and we don't want that at all. We want you just to be able to enjoy and appreciate the whole message. And so if you're studying the verse ahead of time, so you that would mean you'd get back to memorizing your verse and preparing for next week. And so next week will be Core 13 as we're kind of getting back to it. So pretty excited. I know our core group took off for the Christmas holiday, so we've kind of taken a breather, and now we'll be starting back as well. And so hopefully that'll be true for each of your groups. And if you're not in a group and like to be in a group, you can kind of get in touch with us. We can try to find a group or that might be able to be a good match for you or form a new one. So all of that is possible. A great opportunity for us to be able to learn and grow in our journey. I actually got a message from Mark Moore, author of the book, this past about 2 weeks ago. And, I kind of got this message on my phone, and I looked down, and I didn't recognize the number. It wasn't in my contacts, so I was like, okay, nope. I'm not going to take that. And fortunately, I guess I did that because he left a voicemail. And the voicemail was very long. And I was able to save that and then pass that on to both our team. They got to hear it as well as our board and shared that with them. But he said, I just want to say thank you for what you're doing with Core 52. He said, it is going so incredibly well. He said, I literally send people to your website every day. He said, people are calling and they're asking, how do we do this? And he said, so I send them to your website to be able to figure out how to do it. And he said, it's you are not only helping those people in your area, you're helping hundreds of people across the nation who they go back and they see it and they are using it. So, praise God. So it's awesome how God is working. So thank you for that and for making that kind of difference. I also wanted to share with you your giving. We had about 2,200 people who were a part of Christmas Eve services here over Christmas Eve. So that was pretty exciting. But more than that, the difference that you're making in the lives of those by your giving. If I can get this all straight in my head, I can try to say this, but you gave a total of what we received from you for local giving, for those meals, 1,000 meals that we gave out, as well as for clean water, you gave about $65,000, which was an incredible offering that came through. We matched quite a bit of that was going for clean water, and so that came to about $90,000 that we were able to send to World Hope to bring clean water. They did match that first part of what we gave, so the total that was impact that happened was over about $153,000 that was total impact, which means there are about 15 wells going to be dug this year. It means about 12,000 people are going to have clean water because of you and your giving. And so just amazing, amazing. Your generous hearts and the way God works through all of you, you get it. You get it. The importance of giving and not getting and how you can impact the world. It's pretty crazy when you think a little town in central Pennsylvania is making a difference around the world. That's just amazing. So thank you. Thank you for that. We're talking about Christmas, a gift of hope. Christmas presents in your future, a gift of hope. Now, we all know people try to make those New Year's resolutions. And they say, okay, this year, and it is a good starting point. Admittedly, it's a good starting point. What is the most popular New Year's resolution? Lose weight, yes. So for all of you who are starting your gym memberships next week, stick with it at least more than 2 weeks, because you never know what the benefits that could happen. But I know that there, all of us kind of have something, and this is kind of a new starting point, and we say, okay, I'm going to start doing this. And so we kind of push forward on those, trying to be able to set those aside. But realistically, we do need to think forward. We do need to think ahead. And so that's what I'm going to talk about, the hope that we have in the future and what God wants to do. Here's what Scripture says. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations. He is the glory of your people, Israel. We bring God's presence wherever we go. We bring God's presence wherever we go. Let me just tell you this. I was in a disturbing conversation that happened just recently. And the person was in a customer service position in a job. And they said to me, there are so many people who come in that are very rude, very demanding, and handle themselves very poorly. And a lot of times, they're Christians. And I said, oh, I'm really sorry to hear that. Then they said, and a number of them attend Christ Wesleyan. And I was like, wow, that's really, really disturbing to me. Because we are to bring the presence of Christ wherever we go. Let me just say this. I've heard this from servers before at restaurants in different places, that many times Christians who come in are very demanding, rude, very like because they feel like they have power, I guess. And they use it inappropriately. So let me just say this. If you're going out to eat and you're going to be rude and inappropriate, don't pray over your meal. Don't pray over your meal. And take those bumper stickers off your car, because you're doing damage to all of us. You need to make sure wherever you go, you're taking the presence of Christ. So there's no place for rudeness, demanding, inappropriate. There's just no place for that. That's not who we are. And so we are his people, and we are to bring the glory of God into every setting that we come into. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts. Teach us. Help us to hear your voice, not mine. In Christ's name. Amen. There's a gift of hope that comes to us at Christmas. Yeah, a gift of hope. The presence of hope. You should really bring hope wherever you are. You should be the difference maker in those settings that you come to. You should be that like sense of God's presence that is brought in. That hope that comes. Let me say, you're not going to get hope from politics. You're not going to get hope from people. You're not going to get hope from circumstances. The only way you're going to get hope is from what is in you, which is God. That's the difference maker that needs to be. And so we see this when this was written, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting life. We have dark streets. That's happening in our world. So if you're expecting to get up and read the newspaper and be encouraged, it's not going to happen. But if you get up and read your Bible, you will be encouraged. That's where it is. That everlasting life, because the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. You know, that was written by Philip Brooks, and in 1868, he had just traveled to Israel. He did a trip to the Holy Land. He saw Bethlehem. Looks very different then in that time period than now, but he saw that, and that came to him, and we continue to rejoice in what he saw as a result every Christmas. The fact is, the hopes and fears, we all have hopes, we all have fears. We all deal with those and battle with those. But there's a difference maker that we find in Christ. You see, Jesus is the hope of the world. He's the hope of the world. And that's where you're going to find your hope. You're not going to find it in anything else as you look around you. You're not going to find it there. But you're going to find it in Jesus. That is the difference that is going to come for every one of us. I share with you, I see Paul is here today and his son, and I share with you that yesterday I had Elaine's services, Vanircheck, and there was just a difference that happened as a result in the services. Why? Because they have a hope beyond this world. They know that Elaine is with Jesus. There's a hope that you have. We look at everything differently when we have Christ in us. We look at life differently. We look at death differently. We look at everything, circumstances, everything that's around us. We view them all differently because we have this hope in us. And so we don't face the world in the same way. It, Scripture says, and his name will be the hope of all the world. That's the reality. That's the reality. He is the hope. You don't get it from anything else or anyone else. It comes because of Jesus. The fact is, he is the source of hope. And that's what Scripture tells us. And so that's why it should be so evident in our lives. Scripture says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow. That means it's going to spill out on people that you come in contact with. It's just going to spill out because you have a hope inside of you. Now, it's not the hope that you go, wow, I really hope things get better. It's not that hope. Or you say, well, I hope it doesn't rain today. It's going to. I hope it doesn't change to ice and ice up the roads. I mean, it's going to. I hope I get $1 million. You're not. But this is a different kind of hope that the Bible talks about. And that's why he says, then you will overflow with confident hope. This isn't like a hope so, it's a confident hope. I know so. That's what it is. And he says, through the power of the Holy Spirit. See, as soon as we come into a relationship with Jesus, we have this hope. So when it comes and he plants that in our hearts. So there's something different that happens inside of us when we invite Jesus into our hearts. And there's something different that should be seen in us and around us because he's in us. And so that should be evident to the world around us. They should be seeing something that is very different, that hope that is in us, so that we are not conditioned by the circumstances and the people and the things that are around us. There's something greater that is in us. And that is the hope. He says, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. Confident hope. He says, you have this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. So there is something very different. Now, we grow in our understanding of this hope. So it doesn't happen all at once. It's a process of developing. You know, kind of like faith is called a muscle, and that faith muscle continues to grow the more we exercise it. That hope will continue to grow. And the longer we follow him, if you're growing and developing in your spiritual journey, then you're going to have a greater hope than ever before. And so that's going to continue to increase within us. Scripture says it this way, because Paul is telling them, I pray your hearts will be flooded with light. So that means more than what you already have, so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. So that's a developing process, a growing journey of hope that he is working in our lives. Now, this hope is a confident expectation. It's a confident expectation. Do you hear that? It's not like I hope so. It's a more of a no-so hope. It's a confident expectation. I know that Jesus is coming. I know he lives in my heart. I know he's going to answer prayer. I know he hears my prayers. That is a confident expectation. So God has given both his promise and his oath. It's not enough that God gives a promise. He gives an oath on top of it. He gives, these two things are unchangeable. These two things, the promise and the oath, are unchangeable because it's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to lie. If God said it, he will do it. You'd never have to doubt that because it's impossible for God to lie. He has to speak the truth all the time. That's why his word is truth. That's why truth sets us free. That's why we have to understand. So it's impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we have fled to him for refuge and can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. Great confidence. God has given a promise and an oath. It's impossible for God to lie, and so we can hold to that with great confidence. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Now, I have been in a boat enough times in my life that I know that if you don't put an anchor down, you just drift. You just drift. And you will just kind of go all over the place, and you can't rely on anything. But if you don't want to drift, you put an anchor down. And when you put an anchor down, that anchor hooks onto something solid and then holds you. Now, that boat may move around a bit while it's on that anchor, but it's not going to move away. It'll move around, but it won't move away because it's on an anchor. I want to tell you that this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Meaning, no matter what you face in your life, you may move around, but you're not going to move away. We have struggles that come to our life. We have times that we don't really understand. We have things that happen that throw us off track. We have fears that come. We have the anxious moments. We have worries that would creep in. And all the time, I want you to understand, as long as you're hooked to the anchor, you'll move around a little bit. You'll have those feelings, but you're not going to move away because that anchor is going to hold you. That's going to keep you no matter what you face. Now, he says, it leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. This is a really cool thing because now you realize the writer is speaking to the Jewish Christians. He's speaking to Hebrews. Those were the Jewish Christians he's speaking to. And he knows that they get the Old Testament. They understand what's happening. And so that's why he uses many times, Hebrews is an Old Testament book in the New Testament. And so what it helps us is to understand when he says inner sanctuary, you see, there was when they had the temple, there was a place where everyone could go, a place where the priests could go, and then a holy of holies where only the high priest could go once a year. And he would go in to make sacrifice once a year. But he had to be really sure he was clean before he went in. And so they tied a rope around his leg so that when he went in, if he messed up and he dropped dead, nobody else wanted to go in there and get him. They'd drop dead too. So then they would just haul him out with the rope. You can imagine that priest every step. Boy, I hope I'm clean. I hope I confessed everything possible, because he's feeling that drag of that rope on his leg. Well, maybe I should just confess all over again, just to make sure. I mean, you know, and if he was OCD at all, he probably kept confessing over and over and over and over, just to make sure he was really clean. The fact is, here's what it tells us. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. So, you know how the curtain was ripped apart and the Holy of Holies was open? Guess who went in for us? Jesus. And so, he has become our eternal high priest. So, we have that good news for every one of us. Amen? Yes. So we have a confident hope because we have an eternal high priest that is already there for us, whatever we're facing. You see, God has given two unchangeable things to build a confident expectation. This is not just whimsical. God said, I'm giving you a promise and I'm going to put an oath on it. And we know we can trust God. Whatever we face, we can go to him for refuge. Whatever we face. You don't know what's ahead this year. You don't know what's going to be ahead in 2020. It could be great things, but not necessarily. It could be difficult things. It could be tough things that are ahead for you. You don't know that. I could try to tell you everything's going to be wonderful and smile a lot, and you may think, okay, if you say so, boy, I hope so. But the reality is we don't have that promise. We don't know what's ahead for us. But we know who's already there. Jesus is already there. And fact is, whatever we face, we can hold to him, and the confident hope, the confident expectation that lies before us, you can hold on. That's something you can hold on to. That's something you can build on. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor. So no matter what you face, as long as you are anchored in that hope, you'll move around, but you won't move away because he's got you. He's got you. This hope brings us into the very closest presence of God. That's the wonderful news that we have, because Jesus has gone in there for us. And he says, we are his brother, or you are a sister or a brother of his, and you are co-heirs of his, which means everything he gets, you get. Wow, boy, is that a deal or what? It's a wonderful deal. The fact is, Jesus is already there for us. No matter what you face, he's already there. I want you to do this for me. I'm going to talk about this, and then I want you to say this, because I want you to keep it in your mind. I want you to know, when we are tempted, yes, no matter what you face, no matter what temptation comes to you, no matter how difficult it is, I want you to know God has already promised an anchor. When we are discouraged, so we're going to face difficult times. You're going to face some things that are going to discourage you. You're going to face some things that shouldn't have worked out this way. It's not how you planned it. It's not what you were expecting. But you can know that God has already promised an anchor for you. When we are afraid, yes, because there are fears. We all have fears. There are things that come in. We don't know about the future. We don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't know how things are going to work out. We don't know how all of these things are going to come together. But I do want you to understand that when I am afraid, I can always remember God promised an anchor. And he's going to be with me, and I don't have to fear. I can trust him. When we feel backed into a corner, Yes, when you feel like all the circumstances seem to be against you, it seems like everything is coming in and I feel like I don't have a choice and I don't know what direction to go and I don't know where to head, at that point I remember that God promised an anchor and he's going to be there for me. When we want to give up, and there are times that are going to come into your life when you're going to feel like, I've tried to do all the right things and it doesn't seem to be working. I've done all the things that I could possibly do and I feel like giving up. I'm not going to, but I feel like it. And at that point, you have to remember God has promised you an anchor and he will be there for you. When circumstances overwhelm us, yes, because you're going to have things that are not going to work out. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, and you're going to have that. So to tell you that things are just going to be wonderful because you put your hope in Christ and because you go to church and because you're being faithful, just to tell you now that means everything's going to be fine is a lie. It's not, because there are going to be things that are going to overwhelm you, but you don't have to give in because God has promised an anchor, and he will hold you. When our loved ones encounter hard times, sometimes the hardest thing for me to do is not what comes to me, but it's what comes to those that I love. And it's hard to deal with that, and it's hard to work through those things. It's difficult. But once again, I have to come back to the point in place of saying, no, God has promised me an anchor, and I'm going to hold on to it and trust him for what he's going to do. When our friends turn against us, sometimes you seem like you're doing the right things and you're trying to do things right, but nothing seems to be coming back in the right way. In fact, people don't treat you the way you think you should be treated. And you're thinking, like, what is that? Like, what did I do? I don't even understand. And you can't put it together. But when you come there, you have to remember that God has promised you an anchor. So God has given us both his promise and his oath. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our soul. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. This hope will not lead to disappointment. You can trust it. You see, Jesus brings hope through a number of ways in our lives. And that's what we need to try to keep focused on. One, he brings it past promises. When we start thinking about what God has done, what he has done in the past, and we see answers to prayer, we see things that have happened, what do? We focus on that and we come back and say, he can do it. He can do it again. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us, and the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises. Because we're waiting. He may have fulfilled those in the past. He's still working in that today, and we're seeing that that is happening. We also see it through a present help. What do we have? We have past promises and a present help. The fact is that Scripture says it this way. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I'll put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. So my hope in him is what's going to make the difference for me. That's going to be the strength that I need. He said, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present, always present help in trouble. Whatever we face, he's given us a trustworthy anchor that we can hold on, a strong and trustworthy anchor that we can hold on. Future glory. We don't even know all that God has prepared for us, but I'm going to tell you, it's pretty amazing. It's more than what our mind can conceive. He says, now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. How many times have you said, when I get to heaven, I have some questions I want to ask God? All right, well, just forget that, because I will know everything completely. All right, there goes those questions. So you won't even need to ask them. You'll know, because that's what he tells us. And so that's already there when we can understand. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. Good news is coming. good news is coming. That helps us in our hope. We can trust God. We know that this hope is going to make the difference in our daily life and in our eternity. His hope, your confident expectation, is all found in Christ. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. Do you think Christians have to suffer? The answer is yes. This is not a trick question. Do you think Christians have to suffer? Yeah, they do. You're right. What we suffer now, just because you've given your heart to Christ does not mean you're going to be exempt from suffering, hard times, difficulties. But now you have an anchor that is strong and trustworthy. And that'll make the difference. He will reveal to us later, compared to the glory he'll reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. The curse was death. And so all creation has to experience death. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, like we're so anxious for God's return and what he's going to bring and the end of all this suffering and sin. Even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies. Go ahead and take out your gym membership, but we are all getting a new one soon, and we're trusting him for what that is. He has promised us we are given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently, right? Because it's a confident expectation that he's put inside of us that we would know. Let me say, no matter what you face, please remember, God will rescue you. He's got you. No matter what you face and what you go through, God has not forgotten you. He's with you. He loves you. He cares about you. No matter what you face, God personally knows you and all that you are facing. There's nothing that passes that God does not aware of. No amount of suffering, no amount of anything that comes to your life, he is aware of that. God is not disinterested in your struggles. Sometimes we feel like, does he care? Does he know? He does. And no matter what we're going through, what we're facing, he's not disinterested. And remember, you're never alone. You may feel lonely, and you may have those feelings that'll come to you, but that's when you have to remember, I'm never alone. He is a strong and trustworthy anchor. And although I may move around a bit, I'll never move away because I'm anchored. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. That's the good news of the gospel. If God's been speaking to your heart and you need that kind of hope for this coming year, you don't know what's ahead for you, but you're just saying, you know, I need that kind of hope. I need to know that God's got this, whatever's ahead for me, and God's been speaking to my heart as you've been speaking. Would you stand right where you are? I want to pray for you in closing. God's just been speaking to a lot of hearts. I know that. I saw how powerfully he spoke first service. So I know that there are many that would say, yep, I don't know what's ahead for me. I don't know what my future is. I don't know what's beyond this, but I know I can trust God with it. And I need his hope, that confident expectation, to be in me, to prepare me for whatever is coming before. Heavenly Father, thank you that you're in control of our lives. You know what our needs are. You know what our circumstances are. You know what's before us. And thank God you're already there. You know what the need is, and you already are preparing us. Let your Spirit rest on each one that is here. Help us as we continue to go forward, that you would use the power of hope for our future to still our hearts and to give us that confidence that the hopes and fears that we all may face are met in you. Let's all stand together. Father, go with us. Help us in this new year as we prepare for all that you want to do and accomplish, that more than anything, the Spirit of Christ would be seen in us. We would bring the hope of Christmas presents into our world. In Christ's name, amen. God bless. Go with you.